Blog Talk Radio. catching fire as you break through.
Enjoyed the praise and worship part of the service. Welcome to Good Friday. Okay. Episode. That's why I didn't do a show last night. Cause I was gonna do one tonight. Okay. So let's get into the sermon, the message of the night. Okay. It's titled "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." A man was walking down the street when he noticed in a store window a beautiful painting of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He stood there gazing at the picture for a long time, but then realized that a little boy was standing beside him. He patted the little boy on the head and said, "Son, what does that mean?" The little boy said, "Don't you know that there's a man that's Jesus and a woman that's trying is his mother, and them others is Roman soldiers that killed him?" The man smiled and then started walking away. In a few minutes, he heard someone running and turned and saw it was a little boy. He came running up to the man out of breath and said, Mister, I forgot to tell you that he didn't stay dead." So today we celebrate the wonderful truth that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Easter Sunday services is a yearly reminder that Jesus died for our sins on Calvary's cross, was buried, but on the morning of the third day rose from the dead. Paul, writing to Timothy, says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, "Remember that Jesus Christ, as my seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel." The truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ touches our lives every day, but on this day we dedicate our thoughts to his resurrection. I read about a group of four-year-olds that were asked by their Sunday school teachers, "Does anyone know what today is?" One little girl raised her hand and said, "Yes, today is Palm Sunday." "That's great," said the teacher. "Now, can anyone tell me what next Sunday is?" The same little girl raised her hand and said, "Yes, next Sunday is Easter Sunday." "That's great," said the teacher. "Now, can anyone tell me what makes next Sunday Easter?" The same little girl raised her hand again and said, "Yes, next Sunday is Easter because Jesus rose from the grave." And before the teacher could congratulate her, she continued, "But if Jesus said he goes back for 7 weeks." Well, so let me go on record and say that Jesus got up from the grave and he will never be placed in the tomb again. He rose again and is seated at the right hand of the Father as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Today we do not worship one whose body is contained within a tomb or a shrine. We worship one that rose again. Today we celebrate a living Savior. If you were to visit Jerusalem about a block from the old city, you would find the garden tomb where it's believed Jesus was laid after his death. Normally more than 250,000 visitors a year visit the site. However, when visitors don't visit the tomb to pay their respects to the one that is dead, they go there because the tomb is empty. People don't go to the tomb to mourn. They go there by the thousands to rejoice. They don't go there to weep, but to worship. Through the years that I have had a few opportunities to preach in black churches, I enjoy preaching in black churches. Black churches are not the least bit inhibited in their worship, and I like that. When they go to church, they go to church. I read about a Good Friday service in the Black Baptist Church that I would like to have been in during the service. Seven preachers preached back-to-back on the subject of the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. When it got down to the seventh and last preacher, okay, you would have thought all that could have been said had been said, yet the old black pastor got up and entered the pulpit. He looked at the congregation and started softly, "You may be living on Friday, but some Sunday's coming." One of the deacons yelled, "Preach, brother, preach." That was all the encouragement he needed. He came on louder and said it was Friday, and Mary was crying and her eyes out. The disciples were running in every direction like sheep without a shepherd. But that was Friday, and Sunday's coming. People in the congregation started to pick up the message. Women were waving their hands in the air, shouting, "Well, well." Some of them men were yelling, "Keep going." He picked up volume even more and said, "It's Friday." Their cynics were looking at the world and saying, "All things have been so shall may be, but those sinners didn't know that it was only Friday. Sunday's coming. He got even more louder as he went along and kept saying, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." By the time he got to the end of the service, he yelled, "It's Friday," and the whole church yelled back in one accord, "But Sunday's coming." So if I may, today I want to borrow that dear black preacher's thought and talk to you about "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." I want to draw your attention to certain ones found around the tomb of the Lord Jesus. First, let me draw your attention to the ones grieved by his death. There were many that were devastated by the crucifixion and the death of the Lord Jesus. There were many with broken hearts on that Friday. Only one can begin to imagine the despair that filled those who had walked with the Lord, followed him, knew him, and loved him. An anonymous poet has written, "Oh, 'tis the pain that severs the human heart to know, to lay what we hold dearest thus the dust below." The cries and sobs of many could have been heard throughout the Jerusalem that night. I think of the painting entitled "The Return from Calvary." It shows Mary Magdalene and another woman returning to their homes after the crucifixion and burial of Jesus. In the distance, discernible against the horizon, stand three crosses of Calvary. Despondency is written all over Mary's face. Yes, I submit unto you that what was depicted by this artist in Mary Magdalene's face could have been found on the faces of all his followers. It was a Black Friday. I think of all the disciples, I can only begin to imagine the great sense of loss they felt. They must have felt it all alone in the world, and how confused and uncertain they must have felt. The one on whom they pinned their messianic hopes had been laid to rest in a garden tomb. He who made the deaf to hear, the blind to see, the lame to walk, and even the dead to rise, had been snuffed out by the combined power of religious leaders and Roman might. Now he lay dead in a tomb. Can you imagine how crushed they must have been? Can you imagine how futile everything seemed to them on that Friday? If it were possible for me to travel back in time, back to that Friday, I would look up the disciples, and this is what I would say. Matthew, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Mark, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Luke, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. John, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Peter, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. I think of the women that were around his cross. There was not only Mary Magdalene, but out of whom Jesus had cast seven demons and saved from the life of prostitution. It was also Mary, the mother of Jesus. As she stood at the foot of the cross and watched Jesus hang in agony, did she think back to the night when she gave birth to her firstborn? The memories of his childhood flashed through her mind. Can you imagine what she felt as she stood there looking upon the bloody and mangled body of her son? I would like to go back and put my arms around Mary and say, "Mary, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming." There were other faithful women who had followed Jesus. They had watched their master die on an excruciating crucifixion in love. These feminine followers had sought to perform proper ministrations on his corpse, but were denied the opportunity. I can almost hear their crying, see their tears, and feel the pain in their hearts as they made their way back to the place of dwelling. I would like to go back and take each one of them by the hand and say, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." There were the ones grieved by his death, but think with me of the ones glad for his death. Not everyone was sad that Jesus had died. There were several that were glad. While some were in mourning, there were those that were celebrating his death. I think of the chief priests, Pharisees, and Sadducees. They had been trying to trip him up for some time. They had been lying and waiting, just looking for the right time and opportunity to get rid of Jesus. He had been a thorn in their side for some time. And the faster they could get rid of him, the better off they would be. Then their opportunity came. One of his own, Judas Iscariot, came to the chief priest and said, what will you give me if I would deliver him unto you? This is what the opportunity they had been waiting for, and an agreement was reached for 30 pieces of silver. Things kicked into high gear from that point. He was betrayed by Judas in the garden and arrested by religious leaders. He was taken to the high priest's palace and put on trial, run through a kangaroo court, condemned on the testimony of false witnesses. They cried for his death. Several spit in his face. Some hit him in the face with their fists, while others slapped him with the palm of their hands. He was mocked. Prophecy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? The next morning, he was bound and taken to Pilate. One after another, the chief priests and elders leveled their charges against him. Finally, Pilate issued the death sentence. Like a celebrating courtroom after the verdict is given, I can imagine the religious leaders begin shaking each other's hands, slapping each other on the back, and celebrating the verdict. He would now be out of their hair forever. Both the religious leaders of Israel and the political leaders of Rome can now breathe a sigh of relief. If I could go back to that scene, I would say to the chief priests and the elders, fellows, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. I would say to the mob that arrested them, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. I would say to Pilate, wash your hands on Friday, but Sunday's coming. I would say to the soldiers that scourged him and nailed him to the cross, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Finally, I draw your attention to one more thing I think of. Okay, the one gloating over his death. Although we do not hear him speak or see him present and all that happened, you can be sure Satan was behind everything that went on. He was the energy behind the mob shouting, crucify him, crucify him. He was the one who stirred up the religious crowd and planted the thoughts to have him removed. He was the one who filled Judas' mind with thoughts of betrayal. He was the one that whispered the lies in the ears of false witnesses. Although we do not see or hear him, you can be certain that he was strutting around like a victorious commander. From the time it was announced that Jesus was to be born of a virgin, he began a campaign to have him exterminated. He was behind the death of all the innocent firstborns that were slaughtered by Herod. It was Satan that had whispered in the ears of Herod, you've got to get rid of the child that is born to be king of the Jews. In the wilderness, he did everything in his power to get the Lord Jesus to discredit and disqualify himself. He even offered him all the kingdoms of the world if he would but fall down and worship him. On another occasion, he riled up a crowd in the synagogue that took him and carried him out of the city to the brow of a hill with the intention of throwing him off the cliff. But instead, Jesus passed through the midst of them, like a lion waiting for an opportunity to attack and devour his prey. Satan waited patiently for the right moment and opportunity. When the angry mob was shouting, crucify him, crucify him, one could have heard his devilish and sinister laugh in the background. When Jesus breathed his last breath, he and his head slumped under a breathless chest. How all the demons of hell must have broken forth in celebration and jubilation. The kingdom of darkness must have reverberated with cheers of victory and cries of, we won, we won. Scenes of high fives, hugs, and dancing filled the principalities and powers of Satan's kingdom. And all the time, Satan sat proudly upon a throne, gloating over what had occurred. But, oh, if I could, I would like to be able to go back and say to the dancing demons this Friday, but Sunday's coming. I would like to stand at the foot of the cross, stained with blood, and shout at the top of my voice, Satan, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. I would like to say to all those grieved by his death, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. I would like to say to those glad for his death, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. I would like to say to the one gloating over his death, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. I want to ask for your imagination for a few minutes. Let's do a little time travel together. Let's go to the garden tomb. Let's get there before the sun starts to rise. Let's get there early enough so we can get a good seat so we can watch everything that unfolds. Have you got yourself a good seat? Do you have a clear view of the tomb? I can hear the birds singing their morning carols, and the sun is just beginning to shoot the silver arrows through the gates of the eastern sky. I can now see the soldiers standing over the tomb. I can see the distance of the silhouettes of women wending their weary way toward the tomb. The pre-dawn gloom matches their mood. There is Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene, the head of the others. See how red and swollen their eyes are from the many tears they have shed. The pain they feel is written all over their faces. None of them looks like they have slept in days. What's that they have in their hands? It looks like a bottle of some kind. Yes, that's what it is. I guess it's a bottle of spices they want to anoint the Lord's body with. If we listen closely, maybe we can make out what the two Marys are saying. How are you going to move the stone? How are we going to be able to get him to anoint his body? All of us together could never roll back the stone. Wait a minute. What's that? Do you feel what I'm feeling? It feels like we're having an earthquake. Look up in the sky. Do you see the two angels descending from heaven? Look, they've broken the seal and are rolling the stone back. Look in the tomb. It's Jesus. He's alive. He's alive. He's risen from the dead. Look, he's coming out of the tomb. Listen, what is he saying? Behold, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and death. What day is this? It's Sunday. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Marilyn Havercate expressed it this way. It's Friday, Jesus was nailed dead on a cross, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, Mary's crying her eyes out and calls her son Jesus is dead, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, the disciples are running in every direction like sheep without a shepherd, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, Pilate's strutting around washing his hands because he thinks he's got all the power and victory, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, people are saying all things have been so shall they always be. You can't change anything in this world, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, the temple veil ripped from top to bottom, the earth is shook, the rocks split, and the tombs open. The centurion screamed in fear, truly he was the Son of God, but Sunday is coming. It's Sunday, the angel-like dazzling lightning rolls a stone away, exclaiming, he's not here, he is risen. It's Sunday, it's Sunday, it's Sunday. What did it all mean to those we saw on Friday? Let me express what it meant in three simple little statements. All the good disciples and followers of Jesus said, oh, yes. All the religious and political leaders said, oh, no. Finally, the old devil Satan said, oh, me. What does the resurrection mean? It means that the day is the Sunday. Our faith is not in vain. Our sins have been forgiven. We do not have to go to hell. Heaven is our eternal home. Today we celebrate our resurrected Christ. Aren't you glad that we do? Amen. I'm going to give you a chance to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ today. If you do not know him, that's okay. Because you'll get a chance to in just a moment. Well, let me ask you, are you tired of traveling down this long, dusty road and never knowing which way is up or down? Maybe you lack purpose in life and need some. Or maybe you're suffering from depression or anxiety. Or maybe you suffer from something much worse, such as an addiction to alcohol or drugs, sexual morality, overeating, gambling. Whatever the problem may be, the Lord Jesus can take it away. But if he doesn't know you, he can't do nothing for you. So the question is, do you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ? If so, simply say this prayer after me. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I'm a sinner, and I'm so sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross at Calvary and died for my sins. And I'm not willing to turn from my sins. You said in your holy word in Romans 10:9 that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. And according to his word, right now, I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather it always leads to repentance. Therefore, Lord Jesus, transform my life so I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. And also, I want to thank you again for Jesus for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Well, if you said this prayer, okay, we welcome you into the family of the Lord, and may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. Amen. Did you pray and receive Christ? Please give us your name so that we can pray for you. And you can do this by calling in the area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is area code 657-383-1487 and press the 1 key. When you press the 1 key, you'll come on live and you can tell us that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Amen. Okay, let's take some callers here.
Hey, I don't know why you'd expect anybody to call in here and say they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because you're a fraud and a phony and this is a fake ministry. Amen. And I'm a real minister. This is Pastor Veal. Shalom. God bless. Hello.
Goodbye. 443.
Hey there, Pastor Ken. This is the first time caller. How's it going?
All right. How's it going with you?
I'm doing okay. Just one question. How did it feel when that Rico fucked you in the ass? I'm just curious.
I'm not going to discuss previous shows. Okay. 111.
Yeah, I wasn't done, you absolute idiot. I'm saying that your show is a fraud. Combat me. Discuss this. Is it
actually? All right. Okay. Well, anyway, let's play some more music. Yeah.
Take me wider than the atmosphere.
we got another caller. 111.
Hello. I just wanted to say, fantastic sermon today, Pastor.
Well, thank you.
Pastor, I have a spiritual question for you.
Okay.
So, I'm looking to save my virginity for marriage. I'm gay, if you can't tell. Is it against God's will to take it up the rear, if you will?
Don't ask me. Well, no, not necessarily.
Okay, well, he's very concerned about it. Do you suggest a ball tunnel is a more appropriate response?
Say that again, I couldn't hear you.
He wants to know if you if you're suggesting a ball tunnel as opposed to actual anal intercourse on his, I guess, supposed honeymoon. But since it all doesn't come down
yeah.
to the sexual act of intercourse, I really don't think it's a problem. If you're going to save yourself for marriage or whatever, you're going to remain a virgin, remember that means all sexual acts. So any sexual act that you have on your wedding day would be taking your virginity. So, no need
Even
to go into graphic detail. Thank you, caller. Do you have any more questions?
How do you properly do a ball tunnel? I've been curious about this.
Why don't you Google that? We're not that kind of show.
Yeah.
So, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hope we helped you.
Well, you guys sound ultra-sexual, so I really want to know. I really have godly questions about sex, and I'm interested.
Well, call a sex show. Call a sex show, and they'll be able to help you.
Yeah.
There's a good one
I've
on.
I've heard many times before this is a gay sex show. In fact,
no, this is not a gay sex show.
Pointing me in this direction, said this was a gay sex show. So
not
please
a gay
answer
sex.
My question.
Well, obviously, your brain and your sex drive are both gone. Bye.
Okay. 111.
Oh, Kenny.
What's up,
Kenny.
Don?
Brother, I'm
well,
on
hello,
my way.
Don.
I'm on my way to the anal bash in Audash, brother, for Easter. I got my suit and everything. My bunny suit. I'm ready to roll, brother. BBF flying me in.
Such silliness. Like somebody's going to be having some sort of party during a pandemic. You
yeah.
must be crazy.
Yeah, nobody having no party here.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody having a party here.
So no more callers?
Oh.
Oh, here they come. Well, yay.
111.
I'm going to fuck your ass again at the fucking bar.
Goodbye, Rigo. 111.
Hey, this is Doug. How are you?
That's not Doug.
I know it's not
Doug. I bought a new phone. I'm really drunk. Actually, just kidding. This is Pastor Veal. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah,
you guys are both fake pastors.
You too. Good night.
Like he was fooling somebody. That's terrible.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's get into the prophetic word
Amen.
For today. The Bible says today, press into the press. Don't take no for an answer. My yes and amen is on the other side of the thing that is standing between you and your miracle. It is time to radically change your approach to the challenges that are keeping you from your blessing place. Things are the way they are because of what you are doing. If you want something different, you must do something different. you learn to think differently and act differently than you have in past situations. Then and only then do you have a hope of seeing another outcome, a different result qualified by my promise and my power moving in response to your radical acts of faith. There are things you have waited on me to do that will never happen unless you take action. My kingdom doesn't come with observation. Mere passive acquaintances, okay, to the circumstance, okay, will only engender deeper captivity. Okay, I have done all that I am going to do about your situation. What more than the work of the cross is necessary? To think that there is something that must happen beyond Calvary is patent unbelief. Okay, say within yourself, it is finished. Enter in by faith in the finished work of Calvary and begin to take practical, substantive, or clearly defined steps of faith at the point of your greatest needs, and you will see your miracles. Amen.
Hey, how you doing, Ken?
I'm doing okay.
It looks like Kent's minions are at it again.
Yeah, well.
Man, how, what are you doing for Easter?
Nothing much. What we got planned for Easter?
Not a thing.
Are you cooking a ham or?
People that celebrate Easter with Easter eggs and Easter egg hunts are heathens. That is not the spirit of the season.
So you're not cooking a ham?
Yes, we're cooking a ham.
No, you better be cooking a ham. It's Easter.
No, it's Easter in the South. You know that.
Yeah.
What are you doing for Easter?
Easter, I'm flying to Florida, and all that fun stuff. So
we're out completely.
Yeah, but, yeah, I just wanted to say what's up, Ken, see how you're doing. Hey, you said you were in the military a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
Can you give us a war story?
This isn't the show for a war story.
Oh, so you've never been to war? Or what were you in the military?
I was with a medical unit. Okay.
Medical unit? Where did you play at?
I've been in a couple places. I've been to Korea. Okay.
Okay.
I've been to Germany.
What? Korea. What did you do out there? That's cool. Is that where you met Rosie?
Or did you never meet Rosie? No.
I was just joking around. Where else did you go? Did you go to Iraq?
Yeah, I went there.
Yeah, how bad was it? That was for, what was that war called? The Gulf War or whatever? Had to be, right?
Yeah, it was a Gulf War.
Did you see a lot of oil things blown up and all that stuff?
No.
No? Where did they have you? What part of Iraq?
I was in the medical unit. Okay.
No. You said you were in the medical unit. I'm just asking what part of Iraq did they? What town?
I wasn't in any particular town. Okay. was
it like in the middle of the desert or?
Desert.
The desert, the closest town. I'm asking a serious question. You're laughing at me, Ken. Come on, man. I'm not breaking your balls. I'm being cool to you. Everybody else is out to attack you. You know, how's that webcam? Did you try it out?
Yeah, I tried it out.
Are you going to hop in the Discord after this or no? Honestly.
Yeah, I'm going to go into Discord, yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll pop in there and say what's up.
Okay.
Did you ever get shot in war, by the way?
No.
No, never got wounded? Nothing?
No.
So you were a nurse. How long did you practice in the medical field?
A total of 14 years.
14 years? Where'd you get, you got your degree, or not degree, but you learned everything in the Army, or?
Well, no, I went to a civilian nursing school, okay?
What was
the
school called?
It was called BOCES.
BOCES?
BOCES.
B-O-C-E-S.
BOCES.
Where's that located?
It's in New York.
In New York? What part of New York? North or New York City or?
No, it was upstate New York, Milton, New York.
Milton, New York? Okay. Hey, is Tony got you? You better clear the air with Tony, man. There's some fucking war going on or something. Something.
Well, we're not going to discuss shows, okay?
I know, I'm not discussing shows. I'm saying you should clear the air with the guy at least. Bring him on so, you know, he can have his word, you can have yours. You can get everybody, let bygones be bygones and call it settled.
Well,
you had friends back in the day.
Yeah, well, he hasn't called in, so.
Well, he said he called in. He pressed one. He's probably one of the 111s.
Okay. Well,
all the 111 calls were all bad callers.
That's like saying because a black person robbed me, all black people are bad. Is that what you're saying now?
I'm sitting here telling him to take some 111 calls. What are you hearing?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out. But all right, Ken. Hey, I'll see you in the Discord,
111 calls right now.
Yeah.
Here we go.
111. 111.
How was it when Rico fucked your ass?
Okay. 111.
Hello? This is Tony Gaga.
That's not Tony.
That's not Tony.
Actually, Pastor Veal, you need to stop with the stolen valor BS. You're cringe, and I can tell you never served. Stop lying, Ken.
Yeah, whatever. You don't know
you're
nothing.
Lying. You're lying. It's stolen valor.
We know you're stupid. We know that.
Yeah, goodbye. Okay. 111.
You stole my name. This is Alex Staples. You're stealing valor.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. Well, anyway, I'm going to say good night to everybody. God bless.
Oh,
is it okay.
That time already? Wow.
Yeah, I got 10 minutes left. Okay. But, okay, you know, come for the show tomorrow. Okay.
Stolen valor. That's funny. How can you have stolen valor, and how could he not have served, but he goes to the VA hospital with VA benefits? Y'all need to educate. Y'all are getting kind of silly.
Yeah.
Think about what you say.
Really.
Run, Kenny, run. I remember that movie.
Yeah. South Park.
So do you have any callers? Since they're yakking about you running, is anybody worth talking to? Nope, see? Death wish. Ooh, never threatening you with death. All right. You know, that can be misconstrued there, threatening people like that. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, change it up quick.
Okay, well, God bless everybody. Good night.